and he said he wanted to give some kind of testimony about our ministry. That would take me 3 days, at least. How many here this morning are 17 years old? Anybody that young? You got no teens here? Okay, I got, pardon? Oh, here? You're too big to be 17. Okay. Well, let me start out. I was born in Oklahoma. My dad was a Texas oil man. And when I was about between three and four, Dad was transferred to Southern Illinois. They'd hit a big oil deposit Texas had, and so that got us to Illinois. And so that started out my life. I was in private boarding homes most of my young life, but to get out of them, I learned two farmers out in the oil fields out there in the Midwest, and so I'd go work with them in the summer when I was 7, 8 years old, and I could pull weeds out of the garden, gather eggs, slop hogs, and learn to milk early and stuff like that. And so, but I've been on my own before I was 12 years of age. I could visit my dad so many weeks out of the year, but I wouldn't because of a very wicked, ungodly stepmother. So that kept me away from that. So I think about how I came up, and I remember when I became a freshman in high school, I left the farm, the country. I was just a big, tough, ugly farm boy. And so I got to town. Bracy had a chain of stores in. He started with a vegetable cart, wound up with 99 stores like Kroger and so on. So when I went that day and told the manager of the store, I need a job starting high school, I told him I was 16. Not many 16-year-olds start high school. But I was a poor liar. I was just a little over 12. And so that's how I got into high school, and I paid $4 a week to sleep in the basement of a house and so on. But then between my sophomore and junior year, I heard from my mother, whom I had not known or seen for years, and so I went out to the state of Washington from Illinois, Southern Illinois, Mount Vernon area, and stayed there a while, but my stepfather didn't like that. And so I came back on the first part of July, back to Illinois. I wanted to finish high school where I started anyway, and I was to be a senior that year. And in July, I was at this girl's house, and June lived up the street from them where I was at, and she invited us to come to revival. I didn't know whether it was a rooster fight, car race, boxing match. I had no idea. I never went to church in my life, 17 years old. And the girl said, "We'll go." We went up in a little church outside of McLeansboro, Illinois, a little Hopewell Baptist, and a fellow from Lake Jackson, Texas, Johnny Beard, preached that message on Samson. Some guy laid his head in the lap of a blonde too long and got his hair cut, and that's all I remember. And a little church probably, they were in their six weeks of revival. And this is on Tuesday night, July the 7th, 53. And I'm on the very back of that little church, and you know, when you've never been to church and you don't know when God's talking to you. And I was under deep conviction, didn't know what it was. And I had my head down on my arms. And I wasn't sweating. I was defrosting. I mean, but that was God. And I could have walked out of there that night just as lost, going to hell. But God sent a dear lady back to me, whom I did not know. And I felt her tap me on my arms. When I looked up, she was weeping profusely. And it was her mother, whom I didn't know. And Miss Lowry, Emma Lowry, is in heaven today. And when you never heard your dad, mom, or anyone tell that they love you, that's very shocking, you know. And the first words out of her mouth to me, and you could have stuck a hot poker in my soul, wouldn't touch me anymore. Miss Lowry said to me, she said, "I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you." The only time I ever used Jesus' name was in a cuss word, and I'm sorry, that very sorry. But she sat there that day and told me how to be a Christian, how to be saved, just as if she and I were the only ones there. And I said, I'd like to be saved. So I got up there and went to the front, and a dear brother there took a Bible, and but I believe God saved me back there in that seat, don't you? It's where you put your faith, isn't it? That was on Tuesday night. My first Sunday to go to church was the 12th, that following Sunday. Well, June's folks just sort of took me in. And I don't know what I'd be today if it had not been for the Lowrys, Dad, Mom Lowry. And she was quite a student of the Bible. And Mom loved God, Mom Lowry. And so Dad was a commercial electrician, residential. So they had a nice home, which, and of course, I went to see her, of course, see June, but they had a big eating out bar there, and she'd get out commentaries and Bibles and all this, and we'd study the Bible. I'd come from the work over there and have supper, and she'd let me do my laundry and stuff, and sometimes Dad would come in, and she hadn't even thought about supper, but he was such a fine man, and he didn't care. So we got the questions about what do you do after you're saved. See, I've just been saved now just a short time. And I knew on Friday, after I got saved on Tuesday, I tried to go back to play ball, basketball, summer scrimmages, but I couldn't play with those guys because they found out I was saved and they abused me and pulled me down. I was a guard, so I told the coach I'll not be back. And so I'd go back to that little room. I didn't even have a chair in that room. Two little twin beds, a chest of drawers. I'd go down the hall to shower. And I only made $14 a week. And four of that went to pay for that sleeping in that basement. And so I'd go back to my room. And the night I was saved, a couple gave me an old King James Bible. Thank God for that. And that was back before NIV was ever thought of. And I had no chair, so they said, start with the book of John. And the night I was saved, I read the Gospel of John through before I went to bed. So I put the Bible on the bed and get on my knees. I'd put a pillow on the floor because it was old concrete, and I'd read it. And so that's when I fell in love with the Scriptures. And so I'd go back to my room, and God convicted me about, I just said, Lord, whatever's in my life that you don't like, tell me, show me. And I was a heavy smoker, and of course, I didn't eat much because I was skinny then. Now I weigh 200 none of your business pounds. But God dealt with me about that. I remember I'd try to eat so many mornings of the week or whatever, and I went to this old greasy spoon Smith's, and I smoked Lucky's. And I remember long about Thursday, I reached in to get a cigarette after I'd eaten, and it was empty. Oh, just like the Spirit of God said, now it's a good time. And that's when I quit. I didn't go back to the movie picture shows. I knew the girls all in there and got free tickets and popcorn. But God convicted me about those movies and theaters. So that's not a good place for a Christian. And a lot of things. Oh, God began to clear up my life. But during one of those times at the Lowry's, long about Friday, I suppose, I was in my little room praying, and I got to Romans chapter 12, where God said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. And boy, God put me in the floor of that little room. And I said to God, here I am. What do you want with this? And there's where God began to deal with me. I had no idea about preaching, but I felt like I ought to give God my life to serve him. And so on the 12th of that month, the following Sunday after I got saved on the 7th, during the time of study with Mom and them, I began to ask questions. What do I do next? And, well, you need to be baptized. And, well, when to do that? Well, Brother Slag, Pastor will tell you. And you'll join the church. And I said, well, you ought to tithe. I didn't know what tithe was. I lived old boy in Mallory, North Carolina years ago, and he pulled out five packs of cigarettes, and he was getting cleaned up. He said, now, what else? I said, well, you ought to learn to give and get baptized and all that. You ought to tithe. And he said, what's tithing? I said, well, it's a tenth. He said, I don't know about that, but I got two-fifths out in the car. So he didn't know about a tenth, but he knew about two-fifths of liquor. So anyway, she said, you need to tithe. And I said, what's that? She said, that's 10%. That's still that same today, right, folks? That was a poor amen. Amen, right? Do you tithe? Shame on you. And anyway, she said, $1.40 out of your $14. So I did I tithed my first Sunday ever go to church. That first Sunday I went to church that morning, I sat by a little old man, Johnny Tucker. He chewed tobacco, he swallowed tobacco, he spit tobacco, he grew tobacco. I don't know what all he did with tobacco. He smelled like tobacco. And I kept saying, when did I go? I wanted so bad to go fart and tell him, I wanted to do Romans 12, 1 and 2. And he said, now you can go up there now. So I went up to the church, ended it right here. There was no choir, no baptistry. And Brother Slag, dear precious man of God, I loved him. Still do, he's dead now, but I loved him very deeply. And I walked up to his little Southern Baptist church, and I said, I want to do Romans 12, 1 and 2, preacher. And he started crying with me. He handed me a Broadman hymnal. That's a songbook, if you don't know what that is. June was the pianist. He said, from now on, you're going to be my song leader. I did not know what it was. I was raised with Elvis Presley, Jailhouse Rock, and all that junk, Hound Dog and all that. But that put us together. And up till then, June didn't have much to do with me and so on. Of course, I didn't hurry either. Her being a Christian, I noticed a big difference in the other girls. And so that put us together. And I remember we sung that song, My Haven of Rest, My Fetters Fell Off. I thought that said feathers. So I sang it as feathers. And I thought, why would feathers fall off anything? The first two songs we learned that next Sunday was, Hey, He Brought Me Out, Have Faith in God, those two songs. If you wanted to have another song, I'd have a rerun. I didn't know anymore. But that said, well, when Baptist. So the next Sunday, the 19th, I got baptized in the little Wabash River at the bridge in Carmi, Illinois. And God began to use me all of Southern Illinois to preach. So her dad would loan us his car, and he said, you'll be in by 10 o'clock, not a minute later, because that's when we have our family altar time. And you'll be here, or you don't take my daughter anywhere. And you don't go to the shows, you don't hold hands, and you don't kiss her. I wanted to date her, so I would have signed affidavit. I would have signed my life away. But so we started, and God blessed that immensely. All my senior year in high school, I preached. And I finally had our first date on August the 13th, and her mother knows that she was. Where are you going? I said, well, don't know. Of course, when you don't go to the shows, you don't go to the dances, you don't park, you know, and spark, and it kind of limits you to church. Is that all right? Church. So we went to church. Got back tonight, and she said, well, where'd you go? Oh, nosy mother-in-law. And I said, I went to Salem Baptist. Oh, she about laid a double yolk egg. I tell you, she got so happy. She said, John, that's where they went on their first date. Isn't that something? So all during that summer, that senior year, then I finally heard her say she would. I thought she did. She may have burped, but she said something, and I thought she said, I will. So we got married on Wednesday night, June the 30th. That's her birthday. So I married June in June on June's birthday. And just about 10 days later, we were given an old 39 Chevrolet. That big old long gear shift. If any older men know what I'm talking about. And we headed out for Piedmont Baptist College in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. She had never been away from home. And of course, I traveled all over the country as a kid and trains and whatever, but I'd never driven that far. I don't know how we got to Winston-Salem. That's before any superhighways, anything. We found roads that Davy Crockett, Daniel Boone had never seen. And we blazed a trail. I mean, so we got to Winston-Salem. They had saved apartment for us at the college. But we got there in July instead of August. And I met the president's wife, Miss Grace Stevens, and she said, why? I said, because there's other colleges here, and I need a job. If I go to school, I got to have a job. So we got into the apartment there, and we went out and bought some groceries. Had never been to a grocery store, of course. We still have that little cash register slip, $8 and something. And we bought salt and pepper shakers and all that stuff, didn't we? On $8 and something. And I met a young couple there. So I got a job the following day after I got there. And my first job was busting up sidewalks with a pick and driveways for the city of Winston-Salem, 75 cents an hour. Big deal. And there's only some colored fellows. We'd never been around colored people, colored men. They didn't allow them to live in the county in Illinois where we were from. There were no black folks in that county. And so my first job was with those guys. And the man that was over it was a tall white man. And he said, you can't stay here. These guys let you do all the work. They'll watch you. And so he put me somewhere else. But then God just blessed me with job after job. And then I got into the retail shoe business. And for 5 years, I was at that school six. And I made more money than I've ever made in my life to this hour. I was offered a fabulous job when I was 19 years old for International Shoes. When I started working for Old Man Stanley, I had one store when I quit at six. I'm buying for all those stores. I'm helping with the managing of them. And so in 1957, 8, 9, 60, they offered me a job. My salary would have been $500,000 a year. Salary of $250,000 a year plus commission on everything in Southeast Virginia, Illinois, Southeast United States, about another $250,000. And they laughed when I said, for 4 years, I won't do it. God's called me to preach, and my old man that was head of that was Episcopalian, and he's a nice man, never heard him curse, never saw him drink. And he said, I've checked you out. I've known you when you wore overalls and got one pair of shoes a year. And he said, I want you to replace me. And I said, no, God called me to preach. I can't do that. And he couldn't understand that. And I said, God's calling her without an exception. God doesn't change his mind. And my wife would be a widow. I'm very strong about that. I said, my plans, my leave Piedmont is to go to Bob Jones, get my doctor's. And he said, we'll pay for all that. But no, now all these years. So we started helping Urban Street Baptists in Winston-Salem at first. And the morning service like this at 8:30, it was the largest individual church in North Carolina at that time. And then I started started a church outside of Winston-Salem. And when it could support Buddy, then I went over to another county and took a group of people, stayed 4 years, built buildings, parsonage, had a couple children born there. And then it was Tennessee, then Virginia. Now we've moved 60 odd times, around 65 times. We spent 4 years in the Caribbean in Grand Cayman Islands, took a work of 14 people, built that up to nearly 400 in 3 years and a half, and built things and got a pastor and all this. Came back then. Now then, I think we spent 8 years in New England, three churches. God moved us over to Jersey City, New Jersey, between the two tunnels. We were there for about 5 years. How long we were at Trinity? Two churches. Old historical churches, about ready to close. If you took some of the wallpaper off, it would have fallen down. Built back in the late 1700s, 1800s. Trinity was the most unusual place. Let me tell you about that, and I'll move on. But God sent us there. I got a call from three preachers in that Jersey area. And it seemed like I worked with Baptist International Missions, BIMI. And I'm usually the fellow that gets all the dirty calls. I call them all the hard places. Love, go check it out. You know, I've been with them for 35 years. So I said, well, I'll clear, this is in March, I'll clear 6 weeks of no other meetings because I stayed so busy in meetings. And I said, I'll go out to there. And so I met three preachers, then wound up with two. And we began to look at old closing churches. And the first work we went to was on Bower Street, the old Trinity Baptist. It seat 400. Beautiful old arches, decking, beautiful. I had a big old choir loft over here. And the baptistry's in the floor. You'd have to move the pulpit and move four big boards. The baptistry's on the floor. And there was two rooms here where they could dress and whatever. We baptized probably every Sunday. We saw hundreds of people saved there. Death worked up to 60-something. We had a lot of homeless people. And I loved that place dearly. And I got a young man to come in and work with me for a couple of years. But the old house, I believe God's going to reward my wife for cleaning up old, dirty houses. And that place was nearly a three-story. There were row houses, you know, one house tied around the other. If one caught on fire, they all burned. And so there's a big old house there. Well, you got to have some place to live in that part of the world because it's just a little loft apartment's $2,000 a month. And so I said, we'll no people see. So I said, we'll start with this old house. And we did. All the carpet went first. We scrubbed on appliances, couldn't tell whether it's white, black, purple, so we threw them out. I had no money. We've never had a full support in our life. We've never been on deputation. We just moved from one place to another. I'd teach school or do something. And sold Fuller Brush for one church. So we got in there, cleaned that up. I remember the first time we went, we couldn't see the house. They had some, it was a black missionaries taking a sabbatical. I don't know where they're from, but it was a filthy, stinking hog pit. That's all it was. And so finally on a Tuesday night, the house was right on the sidewalk nearly. You could park maybe four cars, remember? I even cut down a big old tree so we could make more room for parking. And I don't know what all, but anyway, it's right on the sidewalk. And they had a gate the whole length of where you could pull into the church, a little bit longer than that pew, it would open up. And so that's what we had. So I'm out there by the gate. I didn't care about going to that old house. And she kept on, honey, come in here. You've got to see this place. I have found the secret stairs. You think it's on the third floor and it's old. Well, it was in case of a fire, you could go down these steps and come out of the kitchen. And it was not secret. It just hadn't been used in 50 years. And plaster all in filth. And so I said, I don't want to see it. So I said, I said, you got 5 minutes, I'm leaving. Because I did not want to go there. We'd looked at another church or two. One broke my heart was this dear old man up in his 80s. I'm 80 today. And met this old man and had the palsy. And this is in March. He said, we're closing the church in April. I don't want to take it. Boy, that broke my heart. And where's those people going to go? And so anyway, several places. But Trinity was the greatest of all the churches we saw. We dealt with two. And I remember how that I'm standing at that gate out there. Now listen to me. This was settled between she and I when we were 18 years of age. In a mission conference. We thought sometimes God wants to go to Africa or France. We'd hear about all these places. We'd hear how they didn't even have a piano player. They'd have to go out of the country to have services. And that would just break my heart. And we'd get tapes and try to learn French. And I said, I'd grow a mustache to speak French. So behind the old platform of Salem Baptist Church, connected to the college, you go around and there was a big broom closet. I'd seen the janitor go in there a few times, and a big old pipe organ. And so I took my little wife of 18 years, both 18, and I said, let's go in there and pray. And that's where God really settled the thing with our life. And I said, Lord, what do you want with June and I? We'll do anything you say. And it's just as if God said, not all of me, but God said, I want you to build churches in America. And we've been doing that now. I've been in the ministry 63 years. But there at Trinity, I said, Lord, I don't want to come here. You never heard such boom boxes and horns. You can't imagine unless you've been to Jersey and New York City. And I don't mean to be ugly, but dog manure everywhere. Dogs come out of those apartments, big old dogs, and they had signs where you're so, they never did that. And I'm not used to that kind of filth. Well, I said, Lord, Lord, just the noise. And boy, the Spirit of God got a hold of me. Are you listening to me? And God said to me, don't look at the mess. Don't listen to the noise. Look at the people, Ken. We could have filled that church on Bower Street. And I said, Father, we'll come. Now, we spent sometimes $5,000 and $6,000 a month on that old house on a Discover card. I didn't have a dime. We probably didn't have $600 a month support then. And God paid that off every month. Every month, God paid it off. God sent me people to paint. I made sure information came. I used to be a painter. Here, you need a painter. And things like that. I needed appliances. I found men would sell me appliances at cost. And we left a beautiful old home there for the next guy. And we got up in the running around 300 or 400 there in those 3.5-4 years. And a lot of Catholic kids got saved, Catholic people, homeless people. And like I said, the baptism in the floor, so our platform was up pretty high. And I'd have communion. I tell them, now, if you're Catholic, if you're unsaved, you don't take communion here. This little wafer, this little unleavened, that's not, never becomes the blood of, the body of Christ. This wine, this is great juice. That never comes. There's no such thing as transubstantiation. No, that does not turn. There's no hocus. But I said, the priest had told you that he's a barefaced liar. You go back to him, love said so. And many a times these kids would come up and look at and said, I've had a minute and say, Brother, Pastor Love, can we have some of the blood of Jesus? Can we have some of the flesh of Jesus? And I'd say, I might break my heart. I'd say, you go back and tell the priest he's a liar. And he'd tell him, don't you go down to Love's and get baptized. But God blessed us there immensely. Then we left there, and then we moved over to New Durham, and same thing with the old house, old building. And boy, God, let me turn that over to a fine, godly man who was born and raised in that area. And it's just been all over this country. Now, we had tents for 35 years, kind of all over Canada and the United States. I never set a tent up under 7 weeks. Started in 1958, quit in 93. And it's just been evangelism, starting churches, helping churches get started, just moving here and there to build works for God. We've always put missions ahead of us, and God's blessed that. We never started a church before we would take on missionaries. In December of 12, I heard about a church being turned back over to the finance company in Albertville, Alabama. I went out there and met the pastor. I started a church in Madison, Alabama in the 80s. Brother Mike Allison's pastor there now. I took over a property that was abandoned there in Madison, and it had been run 6,800. The night I met with them, I had 15 people, $8,000 of treasure. All that was handed over to me. We gave all the 8,000 to missionaries, started that work, reopened it, redid it. And today, they have built about a $3 million auditorium, school and all that in another area, and my house is back. So I got a call from Albertville. The pastor there had been a deacon for Brother Mike, but he wouldn't listen to his pastor. If you're a deacon, listen to your preacher, okay? Thank you. And so I went in there. Here it is, a new building. See, he wouldn't stay in the storefront. Somebody gave him some money, so he went out, and if I build a building, I can get a church. No, that doesn't work that way. So there's a nice building, owned a big debt, about $1,100 a month in mortgage to Wells Fargo. And three people, old man and his wife, neighbors, they're in the 70s, and Sister Ruth is in their 80s. And I'm sitting out on the road in front of that place, and I said, God, can this be done? Is there any hope for Albertville Independent Baptist? And I stood there long enough for God to talk to me. If you'll get quiet, God will talk to you. Stand out there in front of that building, 4 acres, new building, big debt, no money. And boy, the Spirit of God said, yes, this can live. So we were there 2 years, went at high of 53. I got him a pastor, and it's doing well today. So we came back home. Our home's in Swainsboro, Georgia. We have a little house there. And I thank God for my wife. We just shut the door and be gone a couple of years at a time. And come back and check on once in a while. Got good neighbors. But I don't know of another woman in this world that would follow their husband like she has me. And just says if this is what God wants. You cannot believe the places we've lived and the times we moved and what we've lived in. I could stay here for 2 days. But We came home and had to put a furnace in our house, $7,000. God paid for that. But then I began to pray, Lord, let us find a place here in Georgia that don't have to move. Well, there's a church in East Dublin wants to come, and I preached for them a while, but the preacher there didn't want to leave. He wanted me to build a church, but he didn't want to leave. And anything with two heads belongs in a zoo. And so I said, this will never work, preacher. He'd been there 30-odd years. Good man. Still there. So I guess there was probably 10 or 12 places. Texas, Florida, North Georgia, Helen, Georgia, up in that area. Just a lot of places ask us about coming. But I said, Lord, we'd have to move. I don't want to move. Can you spare that, Lord? Could you let us stay home? And so they called me at Valdea. The pastor built that work years ago, 85. He died. Beautiful 8 acres of beautiful facilities, all paid, but no people. And they'd had a couple of preachers, and they were trying to lead them into the Southern Baptist Convention. And I said, that's not of God. And bringing in everything but a King James Bible and all that junk. And don't talk to me about it. If you don't know more about the Bible than I do, then just don't talk to me about it. NIV means nothing in it version. And thank you. And I'm not for the American Standard, the New King James. Just stay at the old book, all right? So I met with the three deacons and three trustees, took my pastor, and I said, what do you want here? And one of the men said, we want leadership. I said, if that's what you want, if you'll get out of my way, don't bother with committees and meetings. Just let me and God, the Spirit of the Lord, work here. We'll see what God can do. And they did. And precious people, we spent nearly about 11 months there. Just got him an ex-Marine, the Marines, from Japan, 12 years. Just been come back to the States after 12 years. Four precious kids and doing a good job. And we're going to ordain him pretty soon now. So that was our last adventure. I don't know what God's going to do next. We're just waiting on our next assignment and see what God wants us to do next. And we're willing to go wherever, do whatever. But it all started in that broom closet at St. Baptist when we were 18. I've never asked God for anything but what God supplied it. I know when God talked to us about going to New England in 78, we didn't have enough money to rent a house or anything. And I asked God for $2,500. I wouldn't tell anybody, I just prayed. And I wish now I'd asked for $5,000 because that came in within 12 hours. And we went out there in a motor home. I took a grand bus, motor home out, and we lived in it 12 years. And we started three churches in the state. The first was Hillsboro, New Hampshire. And God gave us we took an old church, old building, put together wooden pegs, not a nail in it, the wall was that thick, and fought the fire marshals by a little town called George Washington, and not far from Concord. And God blessed there immensely. And Paul Gaylord has been in there now all these years and done a great job. Bought property right now by Pierce, ex-president of the United States, property. And bought some property in and hit some kind of rock they needed. He's been just sitting there watching them carry out the money, bring in the money and carry the rock out. Paid for everything to that. So just that was but then we went to the Rochester and built that work, Beacon Baptist. Then went to the North Country, they call it North Country, Lake Regions, the southern part, and built a work in there, Calvary Baptist in Lancaster. They froze that river. The river was a little wider than this, but it's real deep, real shallow. It's called the Israel River. And that winter, when you come off the mountain to the bridge, it had pilasters under it, and blocks of ice went right on down the street downtown, tore the bridge down. But you know, never did come through by our church. It sat around the banks. And we baptized an old horse trough, set a big old metal tub up on a bench, and we'd sit by it and baptize that way. So from that, then where did we go after that? I don't remember. I guess one of the churches I'd like to have stayed was Whitfield, Virginia. We went there Easter Sunday, 1964, with two men and four women. We saw a soul a day for 3 years, saved there. Averaged a soul a day for 3 years. Baptized hundreds of people. Built that building, didn't have 15 cents. Had some people that believed in prayer. I wish I could talk about that church for an hour or so. People that gave. Blanche Smith, in heaven now, 9 kids. She wanted to give an offering to that building program. She took in washing and ironings. She didn't have an electric machine. She had a ringer type. She hung her clothes on the fence. I was at her house one day when she had just canned 350 gallons of green beans. 9 children, worse than ironings, to have an offering. I saw people sell stuff. God built. I saw a man drive up on our tent property our last Wednesday night under the tent. A fellow I never seen come up in an old red pickup. Dewey Umbarker. Never heard of him. And I said, we got to have $9,000 in the morning by 11 o'clock. And the banks have just turned us down. They had an old 12-foot seat, about 600 or 400. And a big balcony, about finished. And they turned us down. I knew he would. That old Presbyterian banker didn't like me. And Dewey Umbarker. I saw him and his wife go back out from under the tent. He had a little guy sit there, and he'd do this to her, and she'd do that to him. And I thought they were going to fight. And he come back under and said, "Dean, sit down." He said, "Brother Love, I'm not even a Baptist. I'm a Church of God, but I'm saved and love God. And every time I come by this place, I feel God." And he said, "My wife and I have $12,000 in the bank. And said, we want to give that to you." And the next morning went down. I said, "No, Dewey, we're going to get this drawn up, and you had to have a judge and a lawyer then." And we got that. The old banker came over there, and Dewey said, "We're going to give Brother Love the money. You won't give him." His old bald head got red as a pickled beet, and he didn't like that. But God just did miracle after miracle. A lot of the preachers call it the miracle church. I led the man to God, an old drunk that laid every brick and block, and things like that. Old Andrew Rose in heaven now. I beat on his front door one night, kept running until I come around the back door and met him and led him to Jesus. His daughter is the secretary there now, has been for years. Folks, it's a thrill to serve God. If you're not in it, get in it. Serve your church here. And if I had time this morning, I would deal with my time's up. If I had time, I'd deal with Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 38, where Jesus went through all the villages and cities, preached the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved. I'd like to deal with that this morning and show you why, what he saw. It was not disease, broken bodies. Here's what God showed me as a teenager. I didn't look for, is there money in it? How will we live? We have 4 children. All of them have gone through schools, colleges, and healthy, they're doing well. Got 2 preacher boys, a preacher grandson. And we've watched our kids grow up on serving God and giving. Oh, they're givers. I could write a book about that. But I'm just saying this morning that God's been awful good to June and I, but we've not looked, is there money? We've never thought about that. This last church I was at, they gave me $25 a week, said what they could to be MI for me. One before that, didn't get anything for 2 years. And you see, you remember when Peter said, "But Lord, we've forsaken all to serve you." You remember that in Luke? There are 7 times no man's mentioned in Luke, and I preach on those no man's of Luke. And Peter said, "Lord, we've given all to serve you." And then Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, you'll get 100-fold. You know what I want? I want more than money or prestige. I don't care if you never remember my name. I want Jesus to say, 'Well done.' That's what I want. I want to be able to meet him with a good conscience and a good heart."